Well, good morning, First Unitarian.
Good morning.
It's great to be here this morning. It's good to see so many shining faces all in their places. My name is Monica Faith Stewart, and it's an honor for me to be here today. I want to thank Reverend Cameron for this honor of sharing and worship with you this morning. And I'd like to just say a couple of things before I get into the sermon. I first want to acknowledge one of your members and someone who is very dear to me, Andrew Greenlee. Some of you may know him. He is my uncle, and I miss him terribly. And I wanted to acknowledge his life, his worth, and his passing. I want to also say that this morning, in honor of him, his brother Kaitha and wife, and Kaitha's wife, Barbara, the Greenlees, my uncle and aunt, are here to worship with us this morning and with the thoughts of them. So there are lots of connections I have already with First Unitarian that you might not know about, but they began when Uncle Andy and Mary Lee joined this church. And I'm reminded of another connection, and most of you know Tim Black, another light that is shining distantly now. And Alex Poinsett, and going, most of you may not know Arnita Boswell, but she, in fact, is the first person who introduced me to First Unitarian. So it's just good to be here this morning. I also realized that I may make more Christian references than some members might be comfortable with. I wanted to ask you to just extend to me a little of that famous Unitarian tolerance and acceptance. I was reminded that one Sunday after service, I was over there in Hull Chapel balancing a cup of coffee and probably some coffee cake. And an older guy, well, at that time I would have said he was a senior. Now I would say he's sprightly. But an older guy looked at me and said, "I've seen you two or three times. Are you joining?" I said, "Well, I'm a Trinitarian." A voice from behind me said, "Well, so am I." And so then the senior guy said, "Well, you see, we'll take anybody." And so I thought, it's wonderful to be in a place where all of God's children are welcome. So thank you. I feel warm and welcome here today. I'd like to offer a brief prayer. Holy Father, Mother God, it's good to be together this morning. I give thanks for this day, this opportunity, this church, this community. I ask that each one receive a divine message and leave feeling strengthened and blessed. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. I want to talk to you a bit about light this morning. And I thought it was wonderful that Beth Moth Moss chose Hanukkah lights for a reading for the young ones or the young at heart. And I just wanted to share some of my thoughts about light. And I wanted to talk to you about light, not so much because it's the holiday season, but because it seems to be a season of such darkness. In this season of darkness, and maybe it had its roots before COVID-19, but it seems that we've been through an especially dark season from 2020. And it seems like we just can't reach the end. It seems like at the end of the tunnel, the speck of light is an oncoming train, as they say. And I thought a lot about this. Last year, it was, you know, most of us will say it was just a dog year. When I was thinking about Thanksgiving, I thought about how last year our prayer was that we would have a chance to be together, and then that we would see the end of the COVID, that we would, the COVID era. And then it seemed like such a blessing. Suddenly there is the vaccine. And there's also the specter of the unvaccinated. And this past week, while I was getting ready for Thanksgiving, I heard the announcement that there is another variant that seems to be even more virulent. And it's hard to keep smiling. It's hard to feel uplifted. And we wonder just where's hope? And it is bad when I think of myself as a minister, but to acknowledge that these are dark times for many of us. And speaking of dark times, I had a terrible Thanksgiving. Now I know most of you, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, but I kind of had a terrible one. And it was, I was full of happy expectations, 'tis the season. I was thinking about lights and the joyful message I was going to give today. And then Thanksgiving just crashed around me. A friend here, his twin sister told me that, reminded me that one of my nieces is not vaccinated. And I had to think, oh my goodness, there are going to be more people because her brother is not vaccinated, his wife isn't vaccinated, half of the kid, then they have a lot of young kids, and I'm in a situation where I really don't want that kind of exposure, and I really wanted to see these people that I love. And so I just gave in to being furious. I was furious at them. I was, you know, this, how self-centered can you be? You don't care about your own mother or your little kids because you don't want somebody telling you what to do. I was so angry that I just got stuck on stupid. I decided, well, I'm not going at all. And so of course, who sat around unhappy on Thanksgiving with no dinner but my fine self? It did give me a chance though to think. I reflected on the whole year I reflected on just the terrible anxiety of being alone. I live by myself, and I'm sure you all recall how last year we were struggling to go to the grocery store at 6 a.m. When we got home, you scrubbed down the bags, you scrubbed down the groceries, and there was there was just a feeling of being in a bubble just by yourself, just trying to hang in there and not get the virus. And I found myself, I'm not really a television person, but what the heck are you gonna do? I was watching TV, but worse, I'm yelling back at it. You remember all of the crazy things that were happening during 2020, the George Floyd, and then on the streets of Chicago, if I didn't recognize what was going on, I could understand anger. I could not understand destroying small businesses. I could understand anger at the powers that be. I could not understand when a girlfriend said, you remember those neighbors? They came home with a van and hauled out televisions and typewriters, oh Lord, computers and copy things. And from a small business, you know, there was just such darkness. And then we had the election. We had been through, I know maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but I felt that 45 was a real era of darkness. And I wasn't sure how we were going to get past that. I was just angry a lot of the times. And I remember planning, I was a part of I used to be in politics. I know you may not think that, but I used to be in politics. And so I had volunteered to work for progressive Democrats and going to areas where there were probably be problems. And so I was sent, my sister and I signed up and we went marching to Detroit, to a little Trump area right outside Detroit. And we were filled with righteous indignation, onward, you know, progressive soldiers marching as to protect democracy. And then I got there. We arrived early at the polling place, and it was a working class neighborhood, a little down at the hill. When we arrived at the polling place, it was a school, a bright, you know, well lit and well provisioned school. But across the street from the school, a family's belongings were stacked up and then blowing in the wind. And there were people already standing out ready to vote. And when I walked up and I smiled at them and they smiled back at me, and I know from looking at the history that most of these people were not, let's just say they weren't there, Biden was not their guy. But as I looked at them, they looked so worn, they looked so neglected, I couldn't hate them. That They look like they needed a hug. They look like they needed health care. One fell out struggling to vote. And when the official poll workers picked him up and yelled, "Call an ambulance." No, no, he wanted to vote. I said, if this had been Mississippi and an old black man, it would have, you know, really touched me. But I found it still touched me because this man clearly, if anybody needed Obamacare, here's somebody who did. And he couldn't see. I don't know. I just wondered, how confused are we? How, you know, is it just an indictment on American education that critical thinking is replaced by just no thinking whatsoever? These are dark times. And I wondered, what are the children of light doing in these dark times? How do we keep going? And then I thought, I want to talk to you about light, because you are the light of the world. That's a tall order in a dark time. A tall order. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot." I have to put on glasses. "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." I'm talking about light. Because in a time, I was thinking about that, it seems as if our world is just cracked. Democracy is cracked. Everything, our nation, the people, our community is cracked. And I remembered a line of a poem from Leonard Cohen that said, "Everything is cracked. That's how the light gets in." And so maybe in the time of this oppressive darkness, this is the time to let your light so shine. This is the time to make a difference. This is the time to stand firmly and let your light so shine. This is not the time to curse the darkness. This is a time to light a candle. And I forgot something. One of my favorite mystics is Howard Thurman. And I don't know if many of you know him or know of him, but whenever things are really just a bit overwhelming for me, I love Howard Thurman because he's been there and thought about that. He's faced those kind of conundrums. And he also was a person for all seasons. He was a person for all faiths. He was a person for every understanding. And I often think that I wish that I had, he's one of the people I'd love to have spent an afternoon with over a cup of coffee, or probably better still, a glass of wine. But he's so wonderful, and this is something from a book of his, The Growing Edge. And here he's talking about, the chapter is entitled Concerning Festivals. And he says, he's actually talking about the Festival of Light, Hanukkah. And there's a section here where he says, a candle is a small thing, but one candle can light another. And as it gives flame to the other, see how its own light increases. You are such a light. Light is the power to dispel darkness. You have the power to move back the darkness in yourself and in others with the birth of light created when one mind illuminates another, when one heart kindles another, when one person strengthens another, and its flame also enlarges within you as you pass it on. And he is quoting in part and commenting on others that on a message from the Jewish Theological Seminary of America on Hanukkah. And I thought that, what is light? Here, you know, light is that which makes vision possible. In metaphysical terms, light is spiritual illumination, inner light, enlightenment. A biblical proverb reminds us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision here does not refer to a grand strategic plan or a dream or some winning strategy. No, vision here refers to moral decency. For some people would call it the law of God. That's how the ancient Hebrews referred to it, as the law of God, that where this law, where morality doesn't exist, where that the people go crazy, they act without thinking, they lose their social structure, it becomes a time of darkness. And so I thought also about the Chinese proverb, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And I thought about that because Thanksgiving, I was busy cursing the darkness. And I remembered another song typically sung by children. It's better to light one little candle than to stumble in the dark. Best by far just to light one little candle. All it takes is a little spark. And so I would like to now just quote something from the Hanukkah message of 1955. These lights we now kindle, these words accompany the lighting of Hanukkah candles in the home, in the heart, to commemorate the eternal bridge of light, which reaches from creation itself to the radiant spirit of free people. In this light is celebrated the festival of Hanukkah, the festival of light, wherein the candle gives its light to the others is called the servant candle. You too are strongest when you serve. Let's all remember that we are such a light that we are the light of the world, and it takes courage to be that light. It takes persistence to be that light. But most of all, it takes love to be that light. God bless you.